It's the number one Netflix show. It's called The Death of a Pastor's Wife, and it has absolutely gripped the nation. We have two people who are very close to those involved in this documentary on Netflix, who actually have lived, worked, been friends with, know this couple personally, talking about Micah and JP Miller. And if you're not familiar with the documentary, haven't had a chance to watch it yet, it all happens in Myrtle Beach. We do have the trailer for you. So this is the trailer from Netflix.
911, what's your emergency?
I just want my family to know where to find me.
Micah was 16 when she made church her life.
She loved the church. She loved the people.
Micah and John Paul met at Solid Rock.
They look like the ultimate couple. This is what I want my marriage to look like.
Micah was influenced by John Paul because he was 15 years older than her.
She just listened to his voice, a voice of a pastor, a voice of a mentor, and then a voice of a husband.
She showed me that John Paul's signature was tattooed on her side permanently, like ownership. It kind of spiraled from there.
I'll fight tooth and nail to get what I want. What I want is the only thing that matters. I don't care what you have to say.
I think that he used the Bible over her.
When your husband wants sex, God does not send an angel from heaven to take care of that.
He physically took her out of her car and took her to the hospital.
My voice is struggling. My hair is falling out. I'm gaining weight.
There's incredible danger and unmet need.
She was speaking out about the abuse.
Sexual, physical, psychological abuse.
She needed a restraining order. Is it going to shut him down? Is it going to make him worse? Is it going to ramp it up?
Walk away. Do you want to go to jail?
Micah was being stalked 24/7. For her to drive an hour and a half into the middle of nowhere makes absolute zero sense.
I think justice for Micah at this point just looks like the truth.
Oh boy, I was yelling at the TV, yelling at the television. Three parts. I thought, oh, we'll just watch one and then we'll move on. In one sitting.
Yeah, I get you. Yes. I watched it all in one day. Yeah.
My husband said to me, could you stop talking to the television, please? I'm like, I can't. I'm so outraged.
So Bruna is one of Micah's, was one of Micah's close friends who she's no longer with us. And the investigation closed as a suicide, but there's, could be more to it. And then Sam Rickman used to work for Solid Rock Church, which JP was the pastor of. I guess still is, but it's just a different version now, right?
Yeah, just a different version. And then also very knew JP and Micah personally, and is really just trying to shed a light on how beautiful of a life Micah led, and what a beautiful person she was. Yeah.
All right, so Bruno.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bruno, what do you think? Because there are some investigations in JP. I mean, this is true that he's been investigated currently for cyber stalking and other crimes. What do you think? Do you think he had something to do, in your opinion, with pushing Micah to either suicide or something to do with his death, according to just your opinion?
So I've been Micah's friend since 2019. When I met both of them, it was after they were already married and together. When I, in my relationship, and this goes to answer your question, but to our friendship, you know, Micah was never very forthcoming about the abuse until the very end. But if there is one thing I can say about my friend is that when she spoke out, she was honest about what she spoke out. Mm-hmm. So she tried for as long as she could to not talk about it. I think she was trying to figure out within herself if what she was experiencing was abuse. And then as she started asking questions, not just to me, but other women who have gone through similar situations, she realized that this was a very, very orchestrated abusive case. And so much so that we all warned her, and she saw all the tracking devices, you know, like, hey, you should be looking at your car, because if he's finding where you are, he's probably tracking you. And that's how she found the first one. And so in my opinion, after living through all of that with her, I don't believe so. No, we went through shooting ranges together. Mike and I talk very often. We were doing Bible study weekly. We talked at nighttime. I really opened my phone lines to her in my home. She had access and key to my house. I really opened my home and my phone lines anytime. And so there was times where she called me, even at late at night, to talk about things when she was struggling. So I don't think so. She was planning, we were planning a future. You know, she was planning to go back to Africa, minister to these kids, going back to school. She was planning a new life. She was writing about her new life in her diaries. And she said she was struggling a bit with anxiety and depression, but nothing ever near
suicide
ever came up.
What do you think, Bruna? What do you think, given all the information that you have in living this day to day with her and seeing everything unfold, what do you think happened?
I truly believe that he or someone lured her out there with the desire to get something to her that it was important. I know one of the things that she was really hurt about, and I spoke in the documentary too, is that he continued to say, after I'm done with you, no church is going to want you. Mm. He threatened her to expose her, what they share in their private bedroom as husband and wife, as he so likes to talk about it. He was threatening to expose that in order to ruin her image so she'll never be accepted anywhere. So I truly believe because she kept talking about justice. She knew things about what he was doing with church money. She knew witnesses were being paid. People were being paid off to stay quiet, people that he had relationship with. And she started finding out the truth. Yeah. And she told me that. And the day she filed the divorce, and the day he got served, that morning we were on the beach together. And she was so happy. And we cried and we prayed and we read the word of God. And I told her, this is not going to be an easy path, but you can do it. You are almost out. Don't talk to him. Don't answer. Don't get any contact. Stay as far as possible. And you know, we got you. And she was safe. She was with Diana. She knew she can count on me and so many others. This is just, we're just a face, but there's hundreds of other people behind that were there for her.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's hard for them to come forward with the threats and the abuse that people don't see, you know,
yeah.
But
we're talking to Bruna Papone from The Death of a Pastor's Wife on Netflix. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but so was served divorce papers. She served him divorce papers on April 25th, 2024, and she dies 3 days later. Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of the things that people are.
2 days.
Or 2 days
two
later.
Days.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. 2 days later, the 27th. You're right.
Well, and we do have a man by the name of Sam Rickman on the phone, and he used to work at Solid Rock Church where JP was the pastor and Micah Miller was. I mean, she was like the director of music. She was the director of programming. She really was very heavily involved in the church. And when Bruna just said something, it made me want to ask Sam a question since he worked at Solid Rock. The fact that you see it in the documentary, you hear JP's sermons, which, you know, he himself said, I don't do any sermons. I don't talk about anything unless I have lived it personally, which I think a lot of people were like, whoa, mm-hmm. You're talking a lot about, you know, a sexless marriage or not submitting to your husband and that you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do as a wife. There are a lot of people who are watching saying, how could people show up and support his ministry knowing that that's the kind of message, and then now knowing the things that we know. Sam, talk to us.
Like what message?
Like the message about submitting to your wife and the sexless marriage and that, you know, you need to be doing what your husband wants you to be doing. There's a lot of outrage from people watching saying, how was he allowed to be a minister? Mm-hmm. Why are people showing up? Sam, can you talk to us a little bit about your time at Solid Rock?
Yes, ma'am. And I would say, I think people's thoughts on those specific topics are merited. You know, I think the way that it was handed to everybody and the way they're seeing it, it makes you think, holy crap, you know, how could these people, you know, submit to this? How could we listen to this?
Yeah.
You know, and I think a part of it is realizing, you know, that we're taking a situation that really started when Mike was 13.
Right.
And passed when she was 30. So we're talking about all of those years crammed into, you know, barely under 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot to the Bible where, you know, it does talk about women submitting to their wives and things like that, but there's multiple steps to that, you know, and it's like I was talking with wife last night, you know, that's not code for your wife becomes your slave.
Right.
You know, that's not code for your wife is going to do everything I tell her to do, or she's not a biblical wife, or she's going against the marriage. You know, I don't agree with that at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, and also, I know for time's sake, for a documentary, you know, he was a pastor for what, 2 decades, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can take the worst things he says.
Sure.
Not out of context, but,
right.
You know, and throw them in there. And it's like, is that all he's talking about?
Right.
I'm sure. Was it couched in right. so much other stuff? I mean, what was it about you that drew you to the Solid Rock Church and J.P. Miller as the pastor?
Sure. So initially what started is my wife and daughter actually started going to the church about 3 years before I did. I personally went through some pretty extreme church hurt as a kid and did not really have the desire to get back into church. But after 3 years of disappointing, I felt like my wife and daughter telling them no, I sort of decided to budge some. And in that 3 years, I had an opportunity to actually meet them, JP and Micah, outside of the church. So for one setting, Mike actually volunteered and ended up being the volleyball coach for my daughter for her team.
Mm-hmm. I see. So y'all became friends.
Yeah, we did. And you know, and we also, at, you know, multiple Halloweens, we trick-or-treated their neighborhood, and my daughter and his daughter were good friends. And I think, you know, the one big thing that you really felt, and I know this really gets overplayed a lot in the church setting, if you will, but there really was a home-like feeling. When you walked in there, you know, everybody was really nice and welcoming, you know, and it just had the full appearance of what seemed to be a great growing church. I mean, I remember, you know, Sundays we were adding chairs to fit everybody or turning people away. You know, it was really doing great. You know what I mean? And it was a great church family. We loved each other. We supported each other.
Until you didn't.